We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Cal Stanford, the play, and what an amazing call by our next guest, Joe Starkey, longtime Bay Area voice of the 49ers for 20 years, of course, now still with the Cal Bears. Joe, it's good to have you on 95.7 The Game as we try to figure out our Mount Rushmore of greatest sports moments in Bay Area history. And boy, that play right there is going to get a ton of consideration. Boy, it sounds like it happened yesterday, Joe. You got me feeling alive right now.
Covered. I'm doing my best, but it'd probably take a few more years.
Oh, gosh.
Joe, what do you remember about that? You know, Stafford's lining up for the kick. They had just taken the lead. It seemed like the axe is going down to Palo Alto again. What do you remember about the moments before that ball kicked off?
The game was over. I mean, I thought it was a great, great football game. I mean, I was already a big fan, even though he was a Stanford guy, but I thought Elway is one of the greatest quarterbacks I ever got to see play, both in college and pro. And his finish to the game, which I know is on all those tapes somewhere, where he came back from that big play where they had a 4th-and-17 at their 13-yard line. And if he didn't make that, the game was just over. Cal wins. And instead, he completes his pass. And after that, there was a play to Mike Dotterer, who has been a pal of mine for 20 years, who was Stanford running back. And he had a play out to the left flat. And I always told him that I said, you know, I wouldn't be famous. You would, because if you'd just been not stupid enough to run inside instead of outside, you would have scored a touchdown. The game would have been over. And Stanford would have won, which he's never forgiven me for reminding him of constantly. So we're great pals. But yeah, they could have won it. But either way, no matter who won that game, that was brilliant. There had been two terrific touchdown catches in that one. Rhett Ford had one that was just sensational in the end zone. So there were so many big plays in that game. That's what made the finish, I guess, extra special. So, you know, it's obviously I'll live and die with that one. And why not, though? It was great.
Hey, Joe, so I want you to try to tell me if you think this played into the lore of the play. I know it's huge out here in the Bay, obviously, but I was back east back then and remember seeing it on college football highlights. And there was something about the fact that it was Berkeley that added to it. Because as an East Coast guy, you'd heard Berkeley and you think, well, you know, hippies and progressives and kind of the counterculture. Did you ever, over the years since that play, talk to people about maybe that aspect of it, or is it something that you've never heard before?
Oh, I heard, it's amazing the places I would hear it. Sounds bizarre, but I can remember once I was literally in Tokyo, for God's sake. And somehow I was talking to some people who were from America, and somehow we just got on the subject of, where are you from, Bay Area, and all that sort of thing. And they asked what you do. And I said, I was a sports guy and all that. And they said, wow. They said, wow, we always remember that football play. You know, and people did. I mean, in fact, I was at a golf tournament. Joe Morgan had a charity tournament for years that they always let me play in, which was a big kick. And I remember one time I was playing with, you know, we're the so-called celebs. And so you had guys who were paying to play golf in this tournament. And one day the group that I was with were all from Southern California. And one wise guy started off the foursome by saying, okay, we're supposed to have a celebrity with us. Who are you? I've never heard of you. I said, oh, really? I said, I'm going to give you six words. and I'll change your mind. And I said, the band is on the field. Oh, okay. So, you know, it has a life of its own. It gets played over and over year after year among the great plays ever, along with Al's great call at the Olympics, which, by the way, believe it or not, I did the radio broadcast of to the West Coast of that Lake Placid game. And so, you know, there are certain moments that you never forget, that's for sure.
Yeah, Joe, thank you for that call, because that's on my Mount Rushmore of all-time calls. And to think that that play, Cal only had started to play with 10 men. They did that with 10 men, and I want to ask you this. Cal scores, you go crazy, but the refs huddle. What went through your mind as the refs were huddled? Did you think, you know what, there's no way what I just saw transpire is going to actually stand up? Did you think it was going to get called back at all? Share with us what went through your head.
I thought it was possible. Well, absolutely, because there were penalty flags, and I didn't feel that they'd done anything illegal, but it could have been that somebody was looking at those laterals, and in those days you didn't have any kind of replay instantly to see what happened. And so I've always thought there was a possibility of done something. In fact, I think I said on the air, illegal laterals, there may have been one. But other than that, no, I had no other doubts about it. I just thought it was an absolutely unique experience that those of us who got to be part of it will never forget. It was great fun. And, you know, it's ironic that at Stanford, 2 years later, had their own version. I mean, they won a game against Cal not quite that way, but because of a decision late in the game where they called a penalty for literally exuberance against the Bears in the last series of the game in 2 years later against Stanford, and Stanford won because the ref moved the ball up 15 yards to set up a winning field goal, and Stanford won on the last play of the game. So the whole history of that series, you can go back to so many games that were settled really, really late in a Cal-Stanford football game.
Joe Starkey here on 95.7 The Game, Bay Area Radio Hall of Famer, of course, on the call for that great play between Stanford and Cal back in 1982. But, Joe, you also had some great calls with the 49ers. I mean, where do we start here? Do we start with T.O. catching that pass from Steve Young? Do we start with Garrison Hurst and that 98-yard run in overtime against the New York Jets? Also, Super Bowl 23, you and Lon Simmons doing a hell of a job on the radio side. John Taylor catching a pass to Montana. What is your favorite call or favorite moment from your tenure with the San Francisco 49ers?
I'd probably have to say the Terrell Owens one because it was so unexpected. And I think that's always the key. In fact, that's why we all love sports, is the unexpected, the drama that you don't think can possibly happen and then does. And that was certainly the case there. I mean, the whole 49er history in that period of time was we would get them to the playoffs and they would beat us, period. That was it. The Packers would come out on top. And it looked like they'd done it again. Favre had scored with only a couple of minutes to go. 49ers got one last shot at it. And they're still not even really deep in the territory. They've got to get a touchdown. They can't settle for a field goal. And Owens, remember, was a really young receiver at that point. And in that game particularly, in fact, they just showed it this week again on one of the NFL channels, showing how Owens could not catch the ball. And the TV guys were saying, like I was, what's going on here today? He's got passes right in his hands. He had one that when I saw the replay the other day, I'd kind of forgotten about. He actually had already caught it and was starting to run and dropped it. It was like, what?
I remember that.
Yeah. You know? And so here he is in the most dramatic moment he could possibly have with defenders on all sides of him, Young off balance as he throws the ball. So the ball has to be perfectly thrown. If it doesn't get in between that group of players, Packers and Owens, it's not going to be caught. And it does. And so, you know, Terrell goes off to the sideline. He's in tears. Steve's stunned. Everybody was stunned. And so that, along with obviously the great Dwight Clark's play, are two of the greatest ever, no doubt about it. There were some others. The Garrison Hurst run against the Jets in overtime because it was so unexpected. I mean, it was a heck of a football game against the Jets. It was tied at overtime at 30 each. And who expects, as great as Garrison Hurst was, that he would have a 98-yard run on literally the first play of the overtime, boom, with their ball, and scores a touchdown. And 49ers win it. I mean, I still rank that as one of the greats. I didn't like my call that much on it because I got my words all bollocked up, but I thought the play is one of the greatest ever.
Hey, Joe, that's where kind of I was going next. I mean, I feel like, you know, you're a play-by-play man who's won, like, multiple championships because you've had so many great calls. But, you know, whenever you think of somebody like that, I got to ask, other than that, is there any that stick out that you say, God, I wish I would have gotten that – I wish I could get that call back?
Yeah, and that is – I don't have many. I don't mean to sound egotistical, but I don't have many that I wish I'd done something different. But that one, for whatever reason, is he's running down the sideline. What I wanted to say is he's shedding tacklers like he's shedding clothes. And I said, instead, he's shedding tacklers like he's putting on clothes. And I said, what the hell are you talking about? You just said it in reverse, you know? So that one bothers me. And, you know, over the years, you get something wrong. Maybe you call a name wrong. It always drove me worse, though. The worst thing is to call a touchdown or a big play and actually name the wrong person. Thank God I had very few of those. But that's the one that sticks in the mind, I think, of any sportscaster. Because I know where what our importance is, not as individuals, but we are the voice of a play. If you get it wrong, then there's no right, you know? And in fact, there were games all through the years where it always astonished me when I would hear the play-by-play guy stop the call because he would think it wasn't going to count. Mm-hmm. And there were people in the Cal-Stanford game. There were guys working other mediums that day. I'm not going to say who they were at this point, but who actually stopped calling it because they said this will not count. And my whole life, from the time growing up in Chicago, listening to Jack Brickhouse or whoever it might be, it was always finish the play and apologize if you're wrong. Don't stop the play and have no way of making it complete. That was always the key.
Joe, you mentioned T.O., and you've seen him as a baby. I got him as a top three receiver all time for me. And I'm just wondering, when it was all said and done, were you ever shocked that he blossomed into the receiver he was? Or did you see at a young embryo stage of Terrell Owens' career that he could, you know, you wouldn't be surprised if he ended up being what he had become?
No, I'm not surprised. I thought he had all the skills. I think his problem was him. I think in recent years, in fact, he's actually finally talked about it, that he was bipolar and he had personality issues. He drove Mariucci crazy. I mean, Steve, who is one of the most likable people on earth, a friend of mine for 30 years, is really easy to get along with. And Owens drove him nuts because he was always pushing the button. If he was supposed to be at practice at a certain time, he'd be the last guy out there. If he was supposed to do this, he would do that. So I think it was part of his inner workings from the problems that he had. But his talent never surprised me at all. No, but, you know, look at the things he did. The standing on the star at Dallas. Are you kidding me? It's a wonder somebody didn't shoot him in gun-happy Texas, for God's sake.
Oh, boy.
You know, things like that. So he's quite a guy for a lot of different reasons.
Joe Starkey, thank you for the time, man. I got to ask you this, though. Out of all the sports here, we've had a lot of moments in the Bay Area, whether it's the Giants, the A's, the Niners, the Raiders, the Warriors. What's one moment that you think doesn't get the attention that it deserves? Like, for me, it'd be that 1988 NFC Championship win against the Chicago Bears at Soldier Field. I feel like not enough people talk about that. What's one of those moments for you where you're like, geez, this moment deserves more attention?
Yeah, you know, I think you're right about that because that was a very unusual game because of the weather. It was 7 degrees at game time for that game in Chicago. And in fact, at that point, I was the sideline guy. It was Lon and Wayne doing the games, and I was the sideline guy. And I'm in Chicago, and I grew up there, so I knew the weather. And it was 7 degrees before the game started, and an official from the NFL came over to me and and told me, he said, by the way, your team, neither local team, neither team has the right to have a sideline broadcaster in a championship game, so you'll have to go upstairs. And I said to the guy, can I take you to dinner? Get me off the field for this one. Oh. But yeah, but that was the Bears were favored. The weather was their way. There's no way that the 49ers are going to beat the mighty Bears at that point, and they did. I mean, there were games like that throughout the years that you just never thought they could win. And a lot of them had to do with Montana. There was a game against the Jets where he threw a last-second touchdown pass in New Jersey that blew everybody away. You thought, how can he ever win this game? And he did. And that sort of thing went on forever. And so, you know, and I've been lucky. I got to do hockey in the Bay Area, football, basketball. There isn't much I've missed. And so it's a privilege to be a sports guy working in this town. I think we are the beneficent of this opportunity to work out here, to be in this city and see it our history. I mean, we could go on for a long time covering a lot of different sports that I've had a chance to see, be a part of, that sort of thing. It's all memorable. I love it.
Well, as long as we have you, I'm gonna ask you this one, since we're throwing around great moments, Joe. How about this one? Were you part of this one? Joe Montana, 4 touchdown passes in Philadelphia in the fourth quarter.
Boy, I got a story for you on that one. I don't know how much time we got, but this is a great story. At that point, I'm doing Cal and the Niners, which I did crazily enough for 20 years. And we had played – Cal had played UCLA on Saturday. So to get to that flyer, that game against the Eagles, after the UCLA game, I had to fly all night to Philadelphia. Well, the problem is, as we get toward Philadelphia on Sunday morning, the weather is terrible along the East Coast. So we can't land in Philly. We can't land in Boston. Or they're trying to figure out what can they do with this. And I think, oh, my God, I'm never going to make the game. So what we end up doing is, though, they said the window opened. We're going to land in Boston. And it's early enough in the morning, like 8:30, 9 o'clock. So now the shuttle opens up to go to LaGuardia. So I get back on a plane, go to LaGuardia. But when I get to LaGuardia, it is already 10:30. And I've got to get to Philadelphia. Now, here's the extra fun here, guys. I should put in my book, all right? It's the weekend of the New York City Marathon, okay? So how the heck am I going to get from LaGuardia Airport to Philadelphia? So I rent a car. I ignore all speed limit signs. I drive like a madman. I get to Philadelphia. The game has already started. I'm that late. Upstairs, Wayne has convinced Dwight Clark to be the color guy as he takes over on play-by-play. Well, they wonder whatever happened to me. I pull up to the vet in Philly, and I go to a guard at the main gate. Remember, I've been up for 24 hours in a war now, so yeah. I look like hell, okay? And so I say to the guard, I said, this is going to be a hard one to handle, but I said, I am the play-by-play guy for the San Francisco 49ers. Please park me next to the stadium. Take me to the booth. I got to get up there. And he said, the story is so bizarre. Let's go. I got to believe you. All right?
Philly hospitality, baby.
I arrived at the end of
baby.
The first quarter and then watched that incredible, incredible return finish by Joe Montana after they beat him up. Reggie White beat the heck out of him the whole game, and they came back and won it. That's one of the all-timers.
Oh, yeah, man. I was at that one. I'll never forget it, actually. But I was there earlier than you, apparently.
I guess so.
Joe. Good apparently, stuff, I saw Joe. The whole game. You didn't.
That's right. Missed the whole quarter.
Joe, oh, good stuff, man. It's so good catching up with you. I always love our chats at Levi Stadium when you're there watching the 49ers. Joe, take care, man. Great, great stories. Great to hear your voice again.
All right, guys. Great talk to you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.